Jesus' name. Our Lord and our God, we have come to you this morning to be taught by the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that you will open our understanding this morning and anoint our ears to hear you correctly and make our hearts fertile grounds for the growth and the multiplication of your word. Lord Jesus, everyone who will be a partaker of this word today will also be a partaker of the blessings thereof in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful and mighty name we are prayed. Amen. This morning, by the special grace of God, we are going to continue our Sunday school, looking at where we stopped last week. I'll do a quick recap of some of the things we talked about last week. For some weeks now, this is probably the fifth week, we've been looking at God the Son. And last week we started looking at his character, because the ultimate aim or the ultimate goal of every one of us here is to be like Jesus. So if we are going to be like Jesus, we need to know who Jesus is and what he's like. So we look at his character. Because it is God's desire for us that we come to this understanding in order for us to run the race that he has called us into and to run it victoriously. Last week we learned that Jesus lived his life with a unity of purpose with the Father. When Jesus came, his preoccupation and all that he wanted to do was to please the Father. He said, I walk the walk of my Father while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. So, in other words, he spent his lifetime, that was his day, he spent his lifetime doing what God ordained him to do. The reason for this was because he knew the mind of God, that God had proposed that the kingdom be expanded on earth. So Jesus busied himself with the work of the kingdom. I want to encourage us that we busy ourselves with the work of the kingdom. The Bible makes us to understand that heaven and earth will pass away, but there is something that endures forever, the word of God. And let me tell you, as many of us will have experienced, those of us who have had some years on earth, you will recall that possibly maybe 40 years ago, you had things you were struggling with. Let's look at the example of our going to school. You just say, oh Lord, if I can just pass, if I can just pass, it will be so wonderful. That's all. Once I pass this exam, go to the next stage. And what happens? You pass. You are euphoric. You are happy. You are joyous. Maybe for 3 months. After 3 months, you are either going to another school or you are looking for a job. And they say, God, if you give me a job, what a wonderful thing. Oh, I know the guy, another guy who does this kind of job. ah, if you give me a job, look, I'll just be like this guy. And then you get that job. You look at it, you say, oh, this is not what I really want. It hasn't really fulfilled me. Maybe if I get a better job, then you get a better job. Along the line, there are things that will happen in your life. You can say, Father, if you can just deliver me from this. Oh, this is, my life will just be, if not, but for this one thing, my life will just be complete. What happens? The Lord will deliver you from it. And then there will be other things. So in other words, everything we pass through, whatever we are going through now, whatever we have now, whatever we dream of, the hopes we have, the aspirations we have, they will all pass away. But the kingdom of God endures forever. And Jesus knew that. That was why he was dedicated to the work of the kingdom. We also said that Jesus loved sinners, and he still loves them. But he never loved sin. He loved sinners. Somebody said Jesus loved sinners so, Jesus loved sinners so much and hate sin that he had to go to the cross, because he knew that without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. If you and I will be an extension of that love to sinners, somebody's life will be different. We said Jesus had hatred for sin, especially hypocrisy. And we said hypocrisy is a behavior that somebody exhibits with a view to convince other people that he's something when he's not that thing. And Jesus never had time for that. Remember the Pharisees, the Sadducees, Jesus never got along with them because they pretended to be something that they were not. How many of us read the West Australian yesterday? The newspaper, the West Australian. Did you buy it? Did you read it yesterday? Okay, the Weekend Australian. Yeah, that's it. But inside it, there is a magazine there. You call, is it, what do they call it? The West Magazine or something like that. Or there's a small magazine at the back with the photo of a woman there with lipstick and something like that. There's a very nice topic that was discussed. The topic I discussed with my children is lying. Go and read the article. It's very nice. It talked about the psychology of lying. It says that every liar, the reason why people lie is because of fear and insecurity. Fear of rejection, fear of, of loss of position, fear of loss of face, fear. Think of it. The reason why people will lie is fear. So, in other words, what you do is that you try to present yourself as something that you are not. And that's why you have to lie. Even some so-called positive lies, the underlying factor is fear. You know, positive lie. For example, if you have not done well, and you say, how am I performing? I say, wonderful. Eh? Because you don't want me to hate you if you tell me the truth. Because you know I won't like it. You want to please me. And so when I read that, I thought about hypocrisy. It's the same thing. We try to present ourselves in the light of who we are not. Jesus never did that. He was the same Jesus who said to the woman, if no one has condemned you, I condemn you not. Go and sin no more. That same Jesus when he got to the temple where there were money changers and robbers. I keep telling people, the Bible said he made a scourge. He did not pick it up from the ground. He made it. It wasn't accidental. It wasn't that he just picked something. No, he actually made a scourge to drive people out of the temple. That was the kind of hatred that Jesus had for sin. So if we know where sin is, seem to be thriving, we must not be part of it.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus also had compassion for the afflicted and the infirmed. We said it. Do you know some people, Christians, if somebody offends us, and it looks like they run into trouble, we say, yes, God has caught up with him. That is not our role. Jesus had compassion for the afflicted and the infirmed. We have a responsibility to pray, not just for our friends, but even our enemies. That's what we owe them. Even if your prayer is to say, God, open their eyes and forgive them. Open their eyes and forgive them. We owe them the prayer. And God will help us in Jesus' name. We also said that Jesus depended on heaven and heavenly resources. We are talking about the characteristics of Jesus, some of his characters. Jesus depended on heaven and heavenly resources. Jesus never got to a point where he felt self-sufficient, not to consult with the Father and not to pray. In other words, if you and I are going to be like Jesus, we must never get to a point where we depend on the systems of the world so much so that we put our prayer lives in jeopardy. When we stop praying, what we are saying to God is that I can do it alone. I can do it by my own understanding. I can do it by my resources. I can do it by my abilities. Because everyone who depends on God will go to him in what? In prayer. I've shared with us before. In some part of the United States, when the global financial crisis came, the value of some people's houses fell by up to 40% in 1 year. And it was because they had those houses that they went and bought big cars, bought boats, bought different kind of things based on the value of their home. And within 1 year, it what? Plunged. And I want to tell you that in the same year, some people who have been struggling all their lives and have never been able to make ends meet, they made a breakthrough that same year. In fact, there is a ministry called Andrew Womack's Ministry in the U.S. That was the year that they were able to buy or build a $13 million building when everyone was packing up. We must depend on the resources of heaven because Jesus depended on the resources of heaven. Another thing about the life of Jesus was that Jesus led a life that was prayerful. I told us that prayerfulness is one of those signs that tells God that we depend on Him. Let's look at Luke chapter 6 verse 12. The book of Luke chapter 6 verse 12. Jesus lived a life of prayer. We can all see the Bible references in our bulletin, so that's why I didn't go through the ones with some of the ones we've gone through last week. Luke 6 verse 12.
Mm-hmm. That is, went out to the mountain to pray and continue all night in prayer to God.
Praise the Lord. So what did Jesus do? He went to the mountain to pray. And did what? He continued in prayer all night long. If the Son of God had to pray all night long, so what are we doing? He led a prayerful life. He prayed all night long. That is why, because he prayed all night long, that's why when it was time for God, for Jesus to do miracles, instead of Jesus praying and shaking in the presence of people, what will he do? You remember when he had to raise Lazarus from the dead, what did he do? He just went, he said, Father, I thank you that these people may believe. Lazarus, rise. He called Lazarus out from the place of the dead, and Lazarus rose, because Jesus had prayed all night before that encounter. And as we pray, we are going to begin to explain Luke chapter 11 verse 1. So it was not a one-off event. Luke chapter 11 verse 1.
When he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.
Praise the Lord. So he got to a place, he started to pray. And the disciples said, now teach us to pray. As children of God, when you start to pray and things happen, people will come to you and say, teach us to pray. Because they want to know the secret of your success. My prayer is that every dying prayer life, God will revive it today in Jesus' name. Some of us knew how to pray before. We can revive it again. Jesus lived life with humility and a lowly spirit. Do you know the humility that people will see in your life is what is going to reveal Jesus to the world? When you have not responded the way other people normally respond, some of us are waiting that God will fight on our behalf. If you have already replied that person, if you have already used your own understanding to attack them in return, God may not fight for you. If you leave it to God in humility, do you know what? You will actually be the one praying for them when God starts to reply what you consider as insult to you. I'm telling you, I'm talking of personal experience. You will be the one praying in your room. The person will know, and you'll be praying and say, Father, deliver them from this. deliver them from that. Lord, I want you to touch them. I want you to have mercy on them. That is what God can do on your behalf. Humility. That was the hallmark of the ministry of Jesus on earth. And do you know something about humility? I probably will share this with us in detail. In details later. One day I said, you know, people say there's no condition for salvation. No, you don't do anything for salvation. Praise the Lord. We all agree that it took Jesus, his life, to get us salvation. Right? He paid a price. I tell people that there's one price to pay for your salvation. There's one price that Jesus cannot pay for you. And that is the price that stands between a lot of people and their salvation today. Who knows what that price is? Praise the Lord, it's pride. Because the Bible says, by grace are you saved, and not by works, lest any man should boast. Praise God. The same Bible says, God receives the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So only those who have grace will have salvation, because it is by grace. And the people who get grace are the humble. So the proud will never get the grace of God upon their lives to become saved. It's very crucial that we get it right. A lot of people have missed that point. Because the form fear in Christianity, the soap opera of Christianity, has overtaken the meat of it, the real thing. We need to, except we are really broken. We come to him, we are saved, we declare Jesus as Lord. And I'm telling you, all those other areas of our lives that will help us to renew our minds, God will not be able to work on them except we come with humility. You know what? At the beginning of this discussion, I told us about the Weekend Australian I read yesterday. There's a small magazine there inside it of a lady with red lips and something like that. Go and read that magazine. It talks about lying. It talks about the psychology of lying. Okay, deception. How we actually deceive ourselves. You know? So we need to read it. It's very good. Very good article. Deception. So that as children of God, because the reason why some of us cannot be humble is because we are afraid. It's also about fear too. You know? For example, we know the psychology of the bullies in school. Children, you go to school. Bullies, what do? They come, they are like this. Until somebody stands up to them. Deep down within the bully is that he's insecure. He'll be oppressing everybody. You know, get people to gang up against them and do things. The day that somebody confronts the bully and he sees a bigger force, you will actually find out that he's jellyfish inside. So the reason sometimes we cannot be humble is the fear of who we are, that we might disintegrate. People might take advantage of us. But really, if we cast our cares upon the Lord, because he cares for us, that same God will protect you. We can't even protect ourselves. He will protect you in Jesus' name. So the hallmark of the ministry of Jesus was humility. When somebody came to him and wanted to know who Jesus was, what did he say? How did he introduce himself? He said, "I'm meek. I'm lowly. I'm meek and lowly." You know what it means to be lowly? I'm meek and on the ground like this. I'm meek and lowly. That was his introduction. But when we want to introduce ourselves these days, how do we introduce ourselves? Oh my God. You know, very flamboyant ways. We'll let people know who we are, where we have been, what we have achieved, who we are. You know, who? He said, I am meek and lowly. Praise the Lord. Another character of Jesus was that he relied on the word of God. He relied on the word of God. And that was his weapon in the times of temptation and difficulties. As children of God, we have to come to that point again. By the grace of God, we'll hear more of that later today, where we are relying on the word of God. Remember, I've said it over and over again, we are not blessed because we know the word of God. Nobody will be blessed because they know the word of God. We are not blessed because we say the word of God. I know a lot of people who can quote verses upon verses upon verses upon verses. But if you offend them, they will never forgive you. I'm telling you the truth. There are people who can quote verses upon verses upon verses of the word of God. But if you cross their path, you are finished. So we are not blessed by how much of the word of God we know, how much of the word of God we say, but we are blessed by how much of the word of God we do. By how much of the word of God that we actually do. And I keep telling us, a true Christian is revealed when they have something at stake. Until you have something at stake. Look, if it's happening to other people, it's easy. Why can't you? The day it happens to you, that is when you will know where you stand with God. The way you approach it, the way you do it, is what's going to tell us how much of God you've got inside of you. God will give you victory in Jesus' name. There is no shortcut to the word of God. I only got aware of a program for children yesterday. Maybe some of us have heard of it. It's called Awana. I think the program was originated from America. Awana. AWANA. Capital. You can check on it. So the program has many components, but one of the components is actually to get our kids to memorize a verse a week. The person who was telling me yesterday, when I spoke to her and I told her that, do you know that the Muslims, that they memorize the Quran from page 1 to the end? She was surprised. I mean, those of us from Africa, you know what I mean. They actually have a ceremony to mark the end of Quran recital. How many of us in the house have finished reciting the Quran? If you are a Muslim before, praise the Lord. This is a brother, if I'm lying. Did you learn the whole thing by heart? In memory? Okay. People will come and they will say it. They go through stages. They make sure you memorize it. They carry the word of the Quran in their head. But Christians, we don't. You know, want to read it, we don't want to commit it to memory anymore. That was the life Jesus lived. We need to know his characters. He relied on the word of God, and God will give us grace in Jesus' name. The Bible says, be instant in season and out of season. In other words, when it is convenient, when it is not convenient. You carry the word of God. And I'm telling you, that day, when something will go wrong, the first thing that is going to come out of your mouth is what you know. It's going to come. The word of God that is in your heart will just come out. And the Lord will deliver you. In Jesus' name. Lastly, Jesus lived a life of obedience to God and heavenly plans. If you look at everything we've talked about, everything we spoke about has to do with the obedience of Jesus. He says, our Lord and Savior was obedient to the very end. Let's look at Mark 14, verse 36. Mark 14, 36. He was obedient unto the very, very end. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. Not my will, but your will. So, unto the end, in the face of pain, disappointment, frustration, he could still say, not my will, but your will be done. What would have happened if he was not obedient to the end? The heavenly plan to save you and I would not have been consummated. But there he was. He saw beyond himself. And that is why we can boldly go to God today, you and I, declaring ourselves as children of God. And the Bible says, that same spirit that was in Jesus is now in us, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. Just like he cried, we too can say, Abba, Father. Because in obedience, he did all that he did. If we will live our life the same way that Jesus lived his life. I want us to go home, ponder over these things, looking at the character of Jesus. Look at how much of his character that is in us. And I'm telling you that those things that seem to take the center stage in your life, they will pale into insignificance compared to the glory of God that will be revealed in your life. In Jesus' name. Do we have any questions? Remember, we are looking at God the Son. We're looking at his character. We've looked at different aspects of God the Son. Do we have any questions? Or does anyone want to say anything, you know, as a way of contributing to it? Or do we have any questions or clarifications? Or maybe there are situations that, you know, that come our way that will not allow us to be who God wants us to be in him. And we want to clarify things, or we just want to ask questions. Please, we've got like 2 minutes to do that. Okay. Please, can we just rise up and pray? This is the, for those of us who are no longer used to Sunday school, this is Sunday school. Praise God. It's just to whet your appetite. Amen. Why don't you just thank God for his word this morning? Say, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the word you have sent to me this morning. I don't know what your situation is or where this word has found you this morning. But I believe that God has sent his word to do something specific in your life. As you thank God this morning, why don't you just say to the Lord, say, Father, have your way in my life until I become like Jesus. Have your way in my life until I truly become like Jesus. In obedience to your word this morning, have your way in my life until I truly, truly become like Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Take your rightful place. Indeed, become the Lord of my life. honored above everything else. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We give you praise. And we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.